morning, everyone. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. It is time to go ahead and get started with our service this morning. If you would, find a seat and grab a hymnal. Our first hymn is number 56. Hymn number 5-6, When We All Get to Heaven. Hymn number 56 there on the first.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
With a word of prayer, if you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Just as always, another opportunity to freely gather together to sing praises in your name and to hear from your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with those salvations that we had for our marathon yesterday and with all the seeds that were planted. Also pray that you would just continue to bless us and lead us to those who are ready for that salvation, who are ready to make that decision to put their faith in you as we go out this afternoon and as we just hopefully, Lord, continue to make this a priority and go out for the rest of our lives. Also pray that you'd be with us for the service, that everything is done decently and in order. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our next hymn, number 170. 170. Hallelujah, what a Savior. 170. there. On the first.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior. Bearing shame and sorrow. Thank you.
Baptist Church. This time we're going to go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, please raise your hand and an usher will come bring you one. We have our Bible memory verse of the week there, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 13. Keep on memorizing that chapter. Just want to say thanks to all those who came out and participated in the soul winning marathon or prayed for the soul winning marathon yesterday. We did have 10 salvations, which praise God for those 10. But I'll tell you what, for me, that was a rough day. I hope there's no OSU fans in here because that school is wicked. Let me tell you right now, nothing but Muslims, Hindus, atheists. Me and Cameron knocked on this one door. Guy opens up. He looks like a school shooter. He's got the SSRI eyes. You know, he just looks like a school shooter. All over his wall, communist flags, just everywhere. All over. I'm just like, wow, this is wonderful. Muslims, Hindus, atheists, cops got called on us. Finally, me and Cameron just asked this atheist, like, hey, what's wrong with this town? What's going on here? Like, why is everyone atheist? Oh, we just have such an open mind. We're just open-minded. It was rough, at least for us. Praise God for those 10, but for me, it was definitely like Anadarko 2.0. So if you're an OSU fan, it's time to get right with God, I guess, and change. But that's all how that went yesterday. But let's go through the rest of our announcements. We have our service times listed there. Sunday morning, 10:30. Sunday evening, 4:30. And our Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock. Then we have our soul winning times listed there below. Really excited to go soul winning in Oklahoma City today and avenge that day from yesterday. And then we have below that our year-to-date statistics. We've got 15 for May. So that's 10 for the soul winning marathon, and then a couple reported from Brother Eric in the Philippines. So that brings us to our total of 913 for the year, so praise the Lord for that. We've got our visitor card information there, our online giving information, as well as our prayer list. So please keep all those requests in prayer. On the back, you'll see our upcoming events. This upcoming Saturday is our ladies' tea here at the church. There's a sign-up sheet with all the information for that event on the back. So please do come. We'd love to have you for that. May 17th is going to be the next men's preaching night for the evening service. And we're going to have a potluck again after the service. Whatever energy you guys brought for the last potluck, bring that again because that was an amazing, amazing potluck. So please do that. That was wonderful. May 20th through the 24th, coming up real soon, is the Anti-Israel Conference. Very excited to be able to go preach there at Steadfast Baptist Church, my old church, and see my old pastor, Pastor Shelley. And so if you could drive down and be a support to that that conference, that'd be a great blessing. June 14th, Brother Ben Naim preaching both services for us. Make sure to come and support him. Brother Ben is a great preacher, so looking forward to that. And then June 17th through the 20th is the European Soul Winning Conference in Frankfurt, Germany. That's going to be it for announcements. Let's go ahead and go to our third song together.
Our third song this morning, number 106. Hymn number 106, 106, Abide With Me.
Abide with me. Yeah.
offering plates are being passed, turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter number 5.
John chapter number 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray that you would fill Pastor Oz with your spirit and help him to preach an edifying sermon and for us to apply it to our life. Amen.
John chapter number. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease. 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. This is a very interesting story in the Word of God, that here at this pool in Bethesda, the Bible says, lay a great multitude of impotent folk. And who knows what that great multitude could be? Could that be 100? Could that be thousands of people? Maybe, who knows? But the Bible says that every single year at a certain season. So is this once a year? Is this a couple times a year? Again, not exactly sure, but it just seems like it's not something that's happening every day. There's this certain season where the angel comes down and troubles the water. And of all these great multitude that are there, whoever comes in first to the water is all of a sudden made whole of whatsoever disease that they have. That sounds like a pretty great deal. You know, it sounds like if there was all these, you know, people, these faith healers today that claim that they could heal people's diseases, you know what you would find? Great multitudes of people flocking to them, trying to get healed. But the Bible says here that there was a certain man who had had an infirmity for 38 years. This man for 38 years wanted to be healed, but did not get healed, I should say, because every time he tried to go down into the pool, someone was quicker than him and got in. You can only imagine the frustration of that. And Jesus sees this man who the Bible says had this issue for 38 years. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand this morning. That's, you know, longer than most people in this room probably have been alive. 30 this infirmity. And yet Jesus walks up to him and he asks this really interesting question in verse number 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The title of my sermon is, Wilt thou be made whole? When I was a teenager and I started reading through for the first time, I came to this part of the Bible in John chapter number 5, and I read this question, and my first thought was, you know, who would not want to be made whole? You know, doesn't everyone in this world want to be made whole? But you know what? Jesus is not asking a vain, meaningless, pointless question here. Jesus is not just filling some words on our page here. The reason Jesus Christ asks this question, it reveals a crazy truth about human nature to us in this question, and that is that not everyone wants to be made whole. Otherwise, why would Jesus even ask this question? Jesus, everything that he says has a purpose. And so the fact that Jesus Christ asked this question to this man who has not been healed goes to show that not everyone wants to be made whole. This morning, I want to give you three statements from this question of, Wilt thou be made whole? Go to Revelation 22. You need a will
to get saved. You need to have a will to get saved. And you know why a lot of people in this world do not get saved? Is because they do not want to be made whole. And we as believers in Christ, we see people in this world that are not saved, and we do not understand why you would not want to be made whole. But you know what? Questions like this in the Bible remind me that, wow, there are some people in this world that do not want to be made whole. Now, look, it does not take very many years in the ministry. It does not take very many times going out soul winning for you to learn this lesson firsthand, that there are people that just do not want to be made whole. They do not want the truth. They do not want to get out of their position of being weak and infirm and impotent. They just don't care, and that's crazy to me. Look what the Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 17. It says this, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Notice what it takes to be saved. It takes someone that has a will to take the water of life freely. Now, it's not, oh, you have to have a will to repent of all your sins. You have to have a will to give up all your kingpin sins and get your life right with God. No, what you have to do is you just have to have a will to just take the glass of water. You just have to have a will to come. You just have to have a will to walk through the door, to eat the bread of life, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is it many people are not saved? Because they do not want to be made whole. And that question reminds us of that. Calvinist doctrine called unconditional election. And let me tell you, it's wicked and false. There is a condition in getting saved, and it's, will you be made whole? The condition is, will you choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? God did not choose from the foundation who is going to heaven, who is going to hell, and he's magically imparting, you know, will unto you. It's not like when we go soul winning and we find someone that wants to hear the gospel, God just sprinkled will down from heaven on that person. No, someone's soul was thirsty. Someone said, hey, I don't want to be infirm anymore. I don't want to be impotent anymore. I want to be healed. And Jesus asked this man, wilt thou be made whole? And then what happened? He tells him, rise up and walk, and he was healed. Right? So this man did have a desire, but not everyone does. Not everyone does have this desire. Go, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter number 3. Now, when it comes to the will for salvation, of course, God's will is already set. God wants all to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. But what is the will that is like the variable in this equation? It's man's will. It's, wilt thou be made whole? Notice Jesus didn't say, do I want to heal you? Do I want you to get better? He said, wilt thou be made whole? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Notice this, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water. Notice, these people, it doesn't say, man, in the last days, we're going to have so much more scientific knowledge. We're going to have so many more discoveries that prove that God isn't real, that the biblical account of the flood isn't real. No, the Bible says that these people are what? Scoffers, walking in their own lusts. Not their enlightened mind, not their more information, their own lusts. And as a result of their lust, they what? Are willingly ignorant. Look, if you look at this world, if you learn anything about science, and you come to the conclusion that there is no, you are willingly ignorant. You are a fool. Because here's the thing. Even like some of the scientists and physicists of this world that are not saved, but at least they're sincere and honest people, they will admit, we don't understand how this works. This makes no sense to us, right? I claim by no means whatsoever to be an expert in science or anything like this. I started reading an interesting book this weekend, and it talks about the nature of light in this book and how the nature of light is mysterious, because no matter what the speed of the light source, light always travels at the exact same speed, which is like, I don't want to get the number wrong, but I think it's 299.7 million meters per second is what I believe it is. But if you think about this, like if I'm on a train going 100 miles an hour and I throw a baseball 80 miles an hour, relative to the ground, that baseball is now going what? Relative to the ground. But here's the thing about light. No matter what the source of the light is, no matter what its speed is going, Scientists say, this makes no sense. We don't understand. This is crazy. This is a miracle. I mean, just the nature of light itself. And you know, that makes sense because the Bible says God is light. He is that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it's very interesting that light itself is such a mystery. But here's the thing. If you scientifically study light, you know, at bare minimum, you're going to say, this is a mystery. This is amazing. We don't know. But smart people are going to say, wow, God created this world. Wow, God created the laws of nature. And how amazing is it that we could even find out the laws of nature? And Romans teaches that the things that may be known of God are manifest, are clear by the creation. So someone looks at this world and we learn about, you know, space and the planets and the sun and the orbits and just the nature of light and time. And it just all gives glory to God. Like, wow, what an amazing, wonderful creator. And if you could learn all that stuff and say that we came from nothing, that nothing exploded into everything, and nothing exploded and created all these uniform laws in this universe, you are willingly ignorant. You know why some people don't want to let go of evolution and their Big Bang theory? Is because they're wicked and they don't want to, they want to not acknowledge the truth. They're willingly ignorant. They don't want to be made whole. By the way, you know, you go soul winning, you'll people that do not want to be made whole. This is why it's so important as a soul winner to ask a person if they would like to hear the gospel. Yes. Do not just show up to every door and just demand that you're just going to preach the full gospel to every person, because you will waste your time. Because there are people in this world that do not want to hear the truth. And you will end up just wasting your time with this idiot, with this person who is willingly ignorant, when you can go next door to someone who wants to be made whole, who wants to hear the gospel. You know, last week I was talking to this Muslim, and I was already annoyed just because of this attitude that this guy had. He told me he's never told a lie. I said, well, you just told a lie right now. And I asked this person, you know, hey, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Because a lot of Muslims will lie to me and tell me that they believe in Jesus Christ, but the Bible says that Jesus is God in the flesh. And he goes, oh, no, we don't believe in Jesus Christ. I said, well, I appreciate your honesty. Bye. Left. Because I'm not going to sit here and just like, oh, let me just waste my entire soul winning time with this Muslim. No, I went a few doors down and got some people saved. Because there are some people that want to be made whole and some people that do not. Look at verse 6. It says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, notice this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that God does not will, does not desire for anyone to go to hell. Amen. So what does that mean? Why is it that so many people are going to hell? Because those people did not want to be made whole. Yep. God did not create people wanting to send someone to hell. God did not make babies in this earth saying, "Ooh, you're this other person's predestined to go to heaven." No, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ. But people today lack the will to be made. Time that word repentance is used, I want to make sure that the false prophets of this world aren't corrupting your mind in thinking that this is saying, oh, repent of your sins. The Bible says, as you're turning to Acts 3, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. What is repentance for salvation? It's changing from whatever you were trusting in before to putting your faith in Christ. And you know what that takes? Will. That takes a decision saying, hey, I want to be made whole. I don't want to trust in my idols anymore. I don't want to trust in being baptized. I don't trust in, oh, I go to church. I want to trust in Jesus. That takes will. Doesn't take works, but it does take will. Acts chapter number 3. Let me turn myself there. Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Let's start reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? So they had healed someone who was impotent as well. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Hey, why didn't the Jews get saved? Because they had a will. They had a desire that a murderer would be released unto them, not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their own will. Notice it says, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, notice this, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, to be healed, what do you have to do? You have to have a will to what? Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes it clear, how is it that this man is now standing before you whole? How is it that this man is no longer impotent? It's through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how the man in John 5 was healed. That's how the man in Acts chapter 3 was healed. Guess what? That's how we are healed spiritually as well, is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, talking about the will to get saved. Look at verse number 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's the will of God? The will of God is that everyone would not perish, that they would have everlasting life. But what does that take? Believing in Jesus Christ. So, you know, people, whether they want to say outwardly with their mouth, oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Okay, then do you want to believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, no, I'm good. Oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Oh, are you 100% sure that if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? No, I'm not 100% sure. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, can I show you from the Bible? No, I'm good. Guess what? You don't want to be healed. You don't want to be made whole. Because Jesus, God's desire is that we would all not perish, that we would all have everlasting life. But you know what you got to do? You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, when you go out soul winning, it reveals the truth of people's hearts. When you ask them, can I show you from the Bible what it takes to be saved? And they say no. Or you tell them, hey, what you believe right now is not what the Bible says it takes to get saved. You're believing something wrong. You're not saved. Can I show you that? Will thou be made whole? And they say, no, I'm good. I already know. Oh, I have a Bible. You know what? Then just sit down for the next 38 years waiting for someone to pick you up and throw you in the pool. It's not going to happen. You're going to be sitting there for 38 years, and then you're going to die and go to hell, and you're never going to be made whole. Why? Because God hated you and chose you for damnation? No, because you, idiot, didn't want to be saved. Yep, right. Because you did not want to be made whole. You know what? We need some people today to humble themselves and realize that they're not whole right now and that they need to become whole and listen to a soul winner. Notice what the Bible said in John chapter 5. He said, hey, Lord, I have no man. When the water's troubled, I have no man that can lead me into the water, that can get me there. Someone gets there before. You know what it takes to get people saved? It takes a man. It takes a woman. It takes a child that's out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people can be made whole. Here's a Facebook comment I saw this week. Because one reason why people don't want to be made whole is because they don't even want to hear the gospel. They don't want to even listen to a soul winner. You know, another reason people don't want to be made whole is because they don't want to give up their false idea. They think, man, I'm a good person. I do a lot of works. I'm so dedicated. I'm so religious. I live such a good life. And they're self-deluded in their mind, thinking that they're saved by their works, not realizing that they're not whole. And if they don't get that will to be made whole, they're never going to be healed. Here's a comment I saw to one of my videos this week. Brothers and sisters, I hope you will consider the following. Hope plus works equals faith. Remember that sermon how I was telling you how so many people say, yeah, salvation's by faith. But what faith really means is works. Yeah, that wasn't a straw man. This is what millions of people believe. This is what millions of people in our country believe. That faith is actually, oh, hope in Jesus and works. That's what faith means. No, it's not what the Bible says. They say, in other words, if we have hope in Christ, we do the works he commanded us. Well, that's weird. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But according to a lot of people, no, no, no. If you really have faith, you're going to have works. Then why does the Bible describe a situation of a man who has no works but has faith and is saved? Because guess what? Faith is not works. Faith is trust. He says this, in fact, faith isn't even faith without works. Wow. Then he goes and he defines like the works that Jesus gave us to do as like Jesus giving us the Great Commission, doing good works. He says, but consider this, no one is trying to do the work that Christ gave us unless they have hope in Christ. So no one's doing works for God unless they're already trusting in Christ, according to this guy. Again, that doesn't make Matthew 7 make any sense. When these people aren't saved and they're saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It says, if anyone is doing the work that Christ gave us, that's because they are already trusting in Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. So again, this is just a poison of the mind that's out there today that we must never stop fighting. That this idea that, oh, faith is actually works. Oh, faith is actually being dedicated. Faith is fulfilling the Great Commission. Faith is doing the things Jesus told us to do. Wrong. Verse number 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I would love to scream at every work salvationist. Faith means works. Faith means... No, no, it's a faith, not of works. Yep. It's a faith, not of yourself. These cannot be the same thing. But hey, wilt thou be made whole? You know, these people don't want to be made whole today. They don't want to humble themselves and listen to what the Bible says it takes to be saved because they think already in their mind, oh, I already have perfect soundness. I already am made whole. I'm already good. But you know what? They're not good. They are not saved. Go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm going to read a couple verses for you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 says this, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Now, to us, that's just common sense. It's like, duh. Who could say that they've made hearts clean? Who could say that you are pure from your own sin? We wouldn't say that in this room because we're saved. We believe in Jesus Christ. And it's so funny that this, you know, question, this rhetorical question is being asked in Proverbs, but a lot of people do say this. A lot of people say, yeah, I have made myself clean through my works. I have made myself pure from my sin through my works. No, there's none righteous. No, not one. I'll read another one for you. James 2 verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Right? So this idea of trying to get to heaven by repenting of your sins, you just mess up one time, you're guilty. You're condemned. You need a savior. So number one, you need a will to be saved. Number two, you need a will to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Right? In the New Testament, every single believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let's read that. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So one of the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Old Testament, you constantly see the Spirit of God coming upon someone. And it's a short, acute amount of time that allows them to do some. The Lord comes upon Samson constantly. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. But the Bible also talks about how the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, right? So in the New Testament, here's the thing. The Comforter has come. Jesus Christ has sent forth the Comforter into our hearts. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what? There's the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and then there is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Then there is being filled with the Spirit, having the oil of gladness anointed on you. And you know what? That comes from someone's will. I think some people make the mistake of seeing a Spirit-filled soul winner or a Spirit-filled pastor, and they think like, wow, must be nice to be filled with the Spirit like that. Wow, must be nice to have the power of God on your life like that. Man, it must be nice to be able to just preach the gospel so clearly and get tons of people saved, or to preach a sermon that affects someone's life. Wow, must be nice. You want to know why people are filled with the Spirit? Because they had a will to be filled with the Spirit. Right. Because they had a desire to be filled with the Spirit. And if you are not filled with the Spirit, let me just break some news to you. It's because you don't want to be. Yeah. Because if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you will be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. You know, I think that one of the mistakes people often make is because we look at the charismatics and the Pentecostals and we see them teaching just stupidity about the Spirit of God and making a mockery of the Holy Spirit and turning church into a joke, speaking with tongues, which they're not doing the biblical speaking with tongues. They're rolling on the ground, speaking gibberish, you know, lying to people about these spirit gifts that have been given into the, unto them. I don't want us to make this mistake that because those people are liars and charlatans, that we all of a sudden start to underemphasize the importance of the power of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, not by might, not by power, saith the Lord, but by my Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God today. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Notice what it says. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Notice, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's a command, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So notice, we're always sealed with the Spirit. If you're saved, you are sealed with the Spirit of God. You can never lose your salvation. But you know what we can do? We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And you know why people grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Is because they made a choice to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. They willed for that to happen. You don't just accidentally do this. No, what are the things that this is in context of? Be ye angry and sin not. Okay, that's a choice. We could be angry. There could be righteous indignation, but there's also unrighteous anger. How about people that get angry on the road and pull out a gun and shoot someone? Guess what? That's a sin. Someone made a decision to grieve the Holy Spirit of God if someone's saved in that situation. It says, notice, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You could be angry, but if you hold on to that anger and it becomes bitterness, you are not going to be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, why can't I get filled with the Spirit? Because you're angry and bitter. You made that choice. You have decided that you don't want to be filled with the Spirit of God because you have let anger rest in your bosom. You've let the sun go down on that anger, and now you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. What else does it say? Let him that stole steal no more. You know what? If you're saved and you're out stealing, you are going to be grieving the Spirit of God. You cannot be a Spirit-filled person and you're living a life of theft. You're stealing people's stuff, you're robbing people's stuff, you know, or stealing time from your let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, if people are going out blaspheming God, stubbing their toe and using God's name as a cuss word, saying Jesus Christ as a cuss word, you are not going to be filled with the Spirit of God. Right. Corrupt communication, lying, railing, being a talebearer, being a busybody, being a gossip, you will not be filled with the Spirit of God. Okay? Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's saying, put these things aside. You know what that is? A choice. Yeah. A choice. See, there's things you can be mad about. There's things where, you know, from a human carnal perspective, I could say, I kind of understand on a human level why you're bitter about that. But you know what we could do? We could just decide to put that aside because we need the Spirit of God. And look, whatever issues you have in your life that you're just constantly angry about, that you're constantly bitter about, you know what? It is more important to do the work of God with his power than to hold on to that stupid crap. And some of you guys just need to say, hey, I'm just going to put away anger. Yeah. I'm just going to put away bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. Why? Because I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, that person doesn't deserve it. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? Does he deserve it? Because the Holy Spirit of God is not going to fill you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to be grieved when you're stealing, wrathful, corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. Look, it is a choice today to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you see someone preaching, if you see a soul winner that's effective, and you say, wow, the Spirit of God is upon that person, let me tell you why. That person made a choice to put away those things. That person made a choice saying, you know what, it is more important for me to have the Spirit of God on my life than to hold on to the anger, the bitterness, the wrath, the clamor, the evil speaking. It is a choice. Go to Ephesians 5, Ephesians chapter number 5. Let me tell you something. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. It is a choice. It is a will. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 18. Notice it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Man, I just want to be filled with the Spirit. Hey, you could stop being a drunk anytime. Yeah. You could decide to put down the bottle anytime, Calvinist. You know what? No one of these drunk Calvinist pastors are filled with the Spirit. Most of the time, because they're not even the Spirit. But if there are any that are saved and they're out drinking alcohol, drinking wine, pushing wine, you will never be filled with the Spirit drinking wine. Amen. You are a fool. It's a what it's often called? Spirits. You cannot be filled with the Spirit of alcohol and also be filled with the Spirit of God. It will not happen. And so guess what? You know, why are people filled with the Spirit? Because they made a choice saying, you know, I don't want to be drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let's keep reading. What verse was I at? Someone help me out. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hey, you know what? At any time, you could decide to sing praise to God and be filled with the Spirit. Right. Hey, any one of these times, you could decide to start singing in church. Yep. And to sing out with your heart. Man, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Well, why don't you sing out and make a joyful noise to the Lord?
Amen.
You say, you don't understand, I'm bitter, I'm angry, I'm envious, you know, I've got all the problems in my life. No one's stopping you from being at your house and you just, you know, pulling out your guitar or pulling out your hymn book and just start singing praise to God. Right. Hey, anytime you want to be filled with the Spirit, you can be filled with the Spirit.
Yep.
And you know what? Don't have this stupid attitude where you look at others that are filled with the Spirit and you think, must be nice, must be cool, wow, I'd like to be used like that. You can. You know what? There's nothing special about any servant of God. We have the same flesh. You find an effective soul winner in this world, there's nothing special about that person. You see an effective pastor, there's nothing special about that person's flesh. The only thing that is special is the power of God on someone's life, is the Spirit of God on someone's life. And you know what? You could have that anytime you want. As soon as you want to stop being a selfish jerk and being envious and bitter and wrathful and a drunkard and a thief, having corrupt communication come out of your mouth, hey, you can have the power of God anytime you want. Anytime you, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou have the Spirit of God? Go to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Look, I think some people look at soul winners, they're like, man, you know, I couldn't be a soul winner because I am shy. Man, I couldn't be a soul winner because I don't have good speech or I don't know everything about the Bible. Here's what you need. The Spirit of God.
Yep, right.
Here's what you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Then you know how to get someone saved.
Right.
What does it take to get to heaven? Hey, if your answer is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can get someone saved.
Yep.
Stop thinking, oh man, I got to become this great man of God someday to get someone saved. There's no difference between you and the great man of God except one wanted to be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
One, they had to have it. They had to have God's Spirit. They wanted His Spirit. Look at Luke chapter number 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Hey, you want to become a soul winner? Let me tell you something. If that's true, that you want to become a soul winner, you will become a soul winner.
Yep.
And if you don't want to be a soul winner, you won't. And it's not because you're it's because you don't want to be one.
Yep.
Because you know what? If you actually got on your face and asked, if you sought, if you said, God, I want to be a soul winner, I want to preach the gospel, use me, He's ready to do so.
Amen.
He wants to. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Only if you're trolling them, all right? I could see a dad doing a little bit of a troll number here. Oh, you want an egg? Ha, here's a scorpion. But here's the thing. I could see myself doing that as a joke. But you know what I would do? First of all, it would be dead, all right? I wouldn't try to endanger them. But then I would give them what they want. I'd give them an egg, right? If your kids want something, don't you want to give your children the things that they desire? Don't you love your children? And when they desire something from you, and when they ask you, don't you want to give that to them? Now, sometimes there's things that we can't provide, right? But here's the thing. God can provide anything.
Yep.
Let's keep reading. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, notice, the to them.
Yep.
You know what one of the things you should be asking God for is the power of the Holy Spirit,
yep.
The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because if we as parents know how to give good gifts to our children, and our kids ask something of us, and we want to give it to them, we say, here you go, honey, this is just for you. How much more does God want to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask them? You know, I don't get why people are so scared to go soul winning. Let me ask you something. Does God want people to be saved? Do you want people to be saved? What's the problem? If God wants someone to get saved, and you want someone to be saved, and you say, God, here am I, send me, fill me with the Holy Spirit, help me to get someone saved. Let me tell you something. You're going to get people saved. Hey, you know, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God wants people to get saved. And if you go out with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you will get people saved. You want to know why Joe Jones tells his congregation, hey, you know, if we get zero people saved in 5 years, it'll be a 100% success rate? Because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. And he's telling you, hey, failure is incoming. Be ready for it. Hey, just so you know, I can't get anyone saved, so expect zero salvations. Let me tell you something. If you go out soul winning for 5 years and get zero people saved, I'm going to question your salvation or tell you to leave North Korea. Yeah. Because God's word is powerful.
Right.
Okay? Don't go to Israel. Don't go to North Korea. You know, let's go to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bethany. Let's go to Del City. Let's go to all the places that are normal places in this world and preach the gospel, and guess what? You will see people saved. And you know what? You're like, man, I haven't seen anyone saved. I haven't gotten someone else saved. Let me just break some news to you. That is because you don't want to get people saved. That's why. It's not because God doesn't want people to get saved. It's not because the Bible has lost its power. It must be because you don't want to get someone saved. You must not want to get filled with the Spirit. Because God is ready today. Go, if you will, to Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. Look, one of the things, let me just encourage you right now. Let me just give you something to do this week. Here's something you should pray for every single day of your life, is that God would fill you with power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, you do that because you're a pastor. Did that before I was a pastor. Because let me tell you something. We need Spirit-filled soul winners in this world. We need Spirit-filled workers on the job. We need Spirit-filled mothers homeschooling their children. We need Spirit-filled dads. We need some Spirit-filled children. We need some kids soul winners in this world. You know, it's kind of weird when we walk up to young kids. You know, it's nice when we have some kids soul winners. We need some kids to get on their face this week and ask to be filled with the Spirit of God. Pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, notice, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Notice the result. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Look, if a church is not getting people saved, if we're not getting people saved, we're not reaching people, it must be because that church doesn't want to reach people. Because look at the result of Stephen. The Bible says he's a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And what do you see? The word of God being multiplied. You know, I heard some bozo this week, one of these ex-New IFB pastors, say, there's zero evidence of the Holy Spirit in the New IFB. And I'm like, what do you consider evidence? How many tens of thousands of salvations do you need for it to be evidence? What about Pastor Bruce Mejia reaching hundreds of thousands? B is getting tens of thousands of people saved. Look, we're not some gigantic church here. We're a smaller church, but we're getting 2,000 plus people saved last year. We're on track to destroy that this year. You want to know why that's happening? The Spirit of God. The power of the Spirit. It does not take a gigantic army of people. Now, look, the more laborers, the more work we could do.
Yeah, right.
But you know what? God could do a great work with a small group of people that are full of faith and of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
And you know what you need to do every single day for the rest of your life is pray and ask God to fill you with power of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? Sometimes that might mean, okay, then you need to put off. Stop stealing. Then you need to stop being a drunkard. Then you need to put all your corrupt communication out of your mouth. But I'm telling you, if you come to God with a sincere heart, saying, God, I want to be used by you. I want to do something great for you. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he will answer that prayer. He absolutely will do it. Go to Proverbs 18. Number one, you need a will to be saved. Number two, you need a will to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, you need a will to do great things for God. I love that question Jesus asked. Wilt thou be made whole? And doesn't it apply in so many areas? Salvation, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What about just doing something great for God? You know what it takes? A will. It takes a will. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 1. Through desire. I love that word. Through desire. A man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. How is it that someone, you see someone, you're like, wow, that person is separated. Wow, that person is wise. Wow, that person is powerful. Wow, they're doing a great work for God. It came through the will to do something. You know, I think about how many churches I've heard in my life that are praying for revival. And they're saying, like, God, give America revival. Give OSU revival. Give stillbirth water, you know, revival over in Stillwater. No. God does not send revival. He sends workers. God does not send revival. He sends soul winners. God does not send revival. He sends spirit-filled men of God and women of God that are willing to do a great work. And I don't care what person you're thinking of. You want to point out the greats of the past. You think about men like Pastor Jack Hiles. Let me tell you what. Pastor Jack Hiles did not fall out of heaven. Pastor Jack Hiles was a normal man with normal flesh who had a will to do something great for God. Like how did First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana happen? How did they 3,000 saved and baptized in one day? How did they reach their seat for the Lord Jesus Christ? It came from a desire to do so. And you know what we lack today in America? We lack Christians today that have a desire to do something bigger than themselves. Yeah. Today we have so many Christians that, boy, do they have a desire to watch every football game. Boy, do they have a desire to go on vacation. Boy, do they have a desire to make money and be secure. But where are the Christians today that desire to see their city reached for Christ? Where are the Christians today that desire for that map back there to be filled? Where's the desire to fill up that map right there? We need more of that desire today. And again, like if you're not seeing great things being done for God in your life, you know yourself. It's not that God hasn't sprinkled the pixie dust of revival upon your head. It's because somewhere you must not have a will. Yeah. Yourself. Just get on your face this week and pray and ask God for boldness, for power, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to do something great for Him. Because there's absolutely nothing stopping our church from doing some of the greatest works that I've ever done. There's nothing stopping Anchor Baptist Church for being the greatest soul-winning powerhouse in the state of Oklahoma. There's nothing stopping that. Here's what's stopping it. The will of people. The desire. Because here's the thing. I can go soul-winning, and I could reach a certain amount of people. More people when you go soul-winning. Yep. When you go soul-winning. When you go soul-winning. When we all go soul-winning together, there's going to be way more. It cannot be done by one man. It has to be a group of people that has a will to do something great for God. Go to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. There's nothing stopping you from obeying His commandments. There's nothing stopping our church from walking in the old paths wherein is the right way. Right? So many churches today are changing, getting away from the King James, becoming contemporary, becoming liberal. Nothing stopping us from staying on the old paths. Nothing stopping us from being King James only. And not being ashamed of it. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, this principle can be leveraged for good or for bad. You know, if you're someone where what you're constantly sowing is anger, bitterness, clamor, wrath, stealing, being drunk, okay, you're going to reap the results of those sins. But also, if what you're constantly sowing is, God, I want to be used for you. God, please use me great. And you go out soul winning. You go out with a care in your heart for lost souls. You go out asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, faithful to church isn't just a side thing for you. It's, hey, I'm faithful to my church. I want to see something big done for God. You know what? You're going to reap those things eventually. But it doesn't happen immediately. That's what people make the mistake of doing. We have a lot of people today without the character to keep going in life and keep doing the small things that are necessary to reap a big result. Verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Notice this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Right? So the Bible says, hey, don't be weary in well-doing. Why? Because anyone who has done well for a long time knows that there's often a temptation to be weary. You know, if you've never been weary in well-doing, you probably have never done anything in your life for God. Right? Here's the thing. If you go soul winning week in and week out for a decade or two decades, there's going to come a point where you probably feel a little bit weary. And when you feel weary, you need to come to this verse and say, hey, be not weary in well-doing. Why? Because we will reap what? If we faint not. But what do we lack today? We lack a lot of Christians that have the will and the desire to get to the reaping point because they don't want to push past the I'm fainting point. They don't want to push past the this is hard point. But it's, hey, you've got to keep going. You got to keep doing the right things. You got to keep having that will. And eventually, hey, we'll reap those things if we faint not. And again, great examples of the past, Pastor Jack Hiles, you know, great pastors we see today, Pastor Stephen Anderson, Pastor Jonathan Shelley. It's men who had a desire to do something big for God. It's men who had a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it was men that had a desire strong enough to push through hardships to get to that reaping point. And you think about Pastor Anderson, all the battles he's been through. And you think about how he started a church in his house that ran 10 for like 5 or 6 years. Let me tell you, that could bring a person to when you're constantly inputting good and you're constantly inputting hard work and you're constantly on your face begging for God's power and begging for God to do something, and then it doesn't seem like you're seeing those results at first, that could be discouraging. That could be hard. But what does it take? And it takes character and will to push past those hard points to get to the reaping point. And everyone wants the end result of a great church. Everyone wants the end result of a great family. Everyone wants to get to the end of their life and say, man, I reached thousands of people for Christ. But here's the thing. Here's what you got to do. You got to do all the little things every day, every week, every month to the end of your race to be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my race. I've done the things that God has asked me to do. Go if you would to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. About some of those Christians that the Bible says that all those they did all those great things through faith, but they didn't even receive the promises in this life. Let me tell you what, those people still are going to reap, but it's going to be in heaven. And you know, maybe in this life, maybe we're not going to get to reap all the things that we hope and desire, but do you believe that there's a God in heaven that rewards you? Do you believe that there's rewards in heaven? Because guess what? No good work is going to be unrewarded. God is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love, Hebrews chapter 6 says. He will reward us. Go to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice, Jesus' desire is what? That people would be saved. We already read that in 2 Peter, that God is not willing that any should perish. Constantly, you read in the Gospels, Jesus sees the multitudes. And what does it say about him? He was moved with compassion. Yet, what do we see in reality? Tons of people going to hell. Tons of people not being saved. Why? Hey, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why are so many people going to hell today? Because so many Christians don't give a rip. And I don't understand how you could be so cold-hearted to know the horrors of hell and not care about others going there. I will never understand that. Look, I understand being shy. I understand being a silent partner for a while because you don't want to, you know, just go out there on your own without even learning from someone else. Hey, I understand it could be hard in the flesh, but here's what I don't understand. How you could just not care. Right. I don't understand that. I don't understand how you could realize the Bible says that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell, that their worm dieth not, that the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, that they have no rest day nor night. I don't understand how you can know that that's real and not even care. How can you go soul winning? And I mean, how can you go to a church like this? How can you hear the word of God and not care about lost souls? You've lost your will. You want to be a soul winner? You know, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to reach people for Christ? Do you want to do something great? And you know, step one, be the answer to this prayer. What a hypocrite you are if you have ever prayed to God and asked him for more soul winners in this world, asked him to send more laborers to Anchor Baptist Church, if you are not a soul winner, what a hypocrite.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. Step one, be the answer to this prayer.
Yeah.
Then get on your face and ask God for laborers. Then say, God, send us more. Like, hey, God, I'm working. God, I care. God, I want to reach people. God, I want to see people saved. So please send us more people that want that same thing. But don't be a hypocrite. I mean, imagine asking God, and he's like, what are you? Don't you go to Anchor Baptist? Soul-winning church? If someone's listening to this online, you know, even if you're not in a soul-winning church, have you heard about soul-winning? Do you know how to go soul-winning? You know, hey, did we not visit New Jersey and teach you how to go soul-winning? I don't care if you have a soul-winning church or not. If you know to go and you're not going, you're wicked.
Yeah, right.
You're not right with God.
That's right.
Go back to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. John 5, verse 5. It says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? You know what I like about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he cared. He saw this man among the multitudes. And among the multitudes, he saw this one man who's been waiting 38 years to be healed, and he asked this one man, wilt thou be made whole? And a lot of times, people want to focus on, oh, let's reach the multitudes. Oh, let's reach all of Oklahoma City. Let's reach Oklahoma. Let's reach the world. Here's how that's actually done, is you find the one man in the midst of the multitudes. And among the great multitudes of impotent folk, you find the one man who's been unsaved for 38 years, 45 years, 50 years, 60 years, and you ask that one man, wilt thou be made whole? And then you get that guy saved, and then you go to the next individual, and you say, wilt thou be made whole? And you go to the next individual, I'll be made whole. And then you go to the next, wilt thou be made whole? That's how you reach the multitudes. One person at a time. But look at verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, man, if you underline your Bible, underline this right here. Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. You know, there's people like this all over Oklahoma City. There are people like this all over Oklahoma City that do have a will to be made whole. They do want to be put into the pool of living waters, right? They do want the Lord Jesus Christ to heal them. But you know what the problem is? They don't have you. They don't have you. They don't have you. They don't have us. They need a man. They have no man. You know what it takes for people to get saved? It takes a man. It takes one soul winner to care about this person. It took the Lord Jesus Christ to show up and in the midst of the multitudes to go up to him and ask him, wilt thou be made whole? You know what the Bible says? It says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are people going to get saved if you don't go? If I don't go? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You look, you could try to comfort yourself with your false doctrine all you want. If Christians don't preach the Bible, more people will go to hell.
Yep, right.
And you could try to help yourself sleep better at night by thinking, oh, I just think when people die, they're going to get one more chance. That Jesus is going to show up to people and say, here I am. Do you want to accept me, or do you want to burn in fiery torment for all of eternity? You know, maybe Jesus gets them a little close to the flame. Oh, you want this? You want this? Or you want to come to me? That's not how it works. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. How it works is it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How it works is right now, you got to go to people and ask them, wilt thou be made whole? And this is their one chance. Otherwise, they will spend eternity in hell. And look, if you ask them, wilt thou be made whole? And they say, no. Okay, well, your blood be upon you.
Right.
Enjoy hell, idiot, fool. It was a free gift. It was there for you. God's not willing that any should perish, but at least our blood, our hands are clean from that blood. Notice what Jesus said in verse number 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. What would have happened to this man if Jesus did not show up? What would have happened to this man if Jesus didn't care? If Jesus didn't walk up to him and say, wilt thou be made whole? He would have been there for another 10, 20, 38 years maybe. He would have died. And you know what? That's how people are in this city right now. There are people right now in their apartments, in their houses, out in the highways and hedges that are unsaved, that are impotent, that are blind, that are maimed, that are halt, that are on their way to hell. And if you don't start to get something loving these people, they will go to hell. And some of you need to wake up.
Yeah.
Some of you need to get a fire in you and say, look, this world is going to end someday. The things that we have in this world are temporal. They're not eternal. But you know what? Souls are eternal. And you need to start caring for them. I love how Jesus just had a will to help this man. Go to Isaiah chapter number 6. Man, you need a will to do great things for God. And let me just reiterate to you, a soul winner can be anyone. Kids, busy moms, busy dads, a soul winner can be anyone. Amen. There's nothing special about a soul winner other than the word of God that they carry and the spirit of God in their heart. That's it. And if you're saved, you can have those things. Yep. And you could be an effective soul winner. You don't have to be a pastor, a soul winning leader. You don't have to be some great missionary. You could be a regular 9-to-5 working dad with a busy schedule, and you can get lots of people saved in your life. I mean, hey, why don't you just start with one time a week and just say, hey, I'm coming at this time a week. I'm going to learn. Look, if you don't know how to do it, be a silent partner. We'll teach you. Why don't you just start saying, hey, I want a will. I have a will to do something great for God. I have a will to get people saved. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord. But understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Look, there's nothing special about Isaiah. There's nothing different about him. People think, man, soul winners, pastors, they just have this special sauce. They're just so different. They're just built different. What made Isaiah different? He actually was willing to go. And look, if you want to be used greatly by God, have a will to go, and he will use you. Notice, God didn't say, oh, and he said, see if there's a better option that comes along. I don't want to use farmers. I want to use, you know, white-collar people. I don't want to use you, Isaiah. Let me see if a better option comes along. It's just like, who's going to go for us? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? I'll go. Go! God immediately just says, go. Right? And so that could be any of us. Whether you're shy, whether you're introverted, you don't think you could speak well, you don't have the greatest health. Look, God's ready to use you. God's ready to make you a soul winner. Go, if you will, to John chapter number 5. God is ready to use people today that want to be used by God. And when you see people in your life that are being used greatly by God, it is not because they are special, but it is because they have an insatiable desire to be used by God. You see a great pastor, I guarantee you, that is a man on his face every day begging for God's power. You see a soul winner, very zealous, getting tons of people saved, I guarantee you that is a soul winner on his face begging for God to lead him to receptive people and to do great things for God. And look, I see laymen all over the new IFB movement that are just epic, incredible soul winners. People just getting thousands of people saved. People, I don't know, how about like Brother Eric,
yeah,
just leaving the U.S. and just paying his own way to go to the Philippines. Why? Because he's just reaching thousands of people for Christ because he wants to.
Yep.
He just desires it.
Right.
And you know what? Nothing is stopping you from having that same desire.
Right.
Someone asked me years ago, hey, you know, because I'd gotten ordained by Pastor Shelley, and someone's asked me, like, hey, how do you become a pastor? Can you give me some advice on how to become a pastor? I said two words, love God. Love God. Because if you desire to be a pastor and you're sincere and you love God, everything follows from that. You love God with all your heart. You desire to see great things done for him. You're sincere. You're real. He wants to use you. Do you think that God wants more pastors in this world or less? You think God wants more churches in this world or less? More soul winners or less? Why is it less than in this world? Because people lack the desire. That's why. Not because God's power isn't there. Not because God doesn't desire it. But because people don't desire it. Because people desire ESPN on Saturday morning more than they desire serving God. Because people desire sleep on Sunday morning more than they desire to serve God. Because people desire their video games and their vanity of this world more than they desire to get every day in this book and read it for an hour. They desire the things of this world more than actually separating themselves and saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Hey, I'll give up the career. I'll give up my dreams. I'll give up my carnal passions because I want to serve. Nothing is stopping you from doing that. Nothing is stopping anyone from doing that. Go to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5, look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? What a question that is, isn't it? What a question that is. Number one, you need a will to get saved. Number two, you need a will to be filled with the Spirit. Number three, you need a will to do great things for God. Here's the thing. I cannot will it for you. Your husband cannot will it for you. Your friends, your pastor, you know, other soul winners, your cousins, your children, no one else can will it for you. You have to find it within yourself to have that desire. No one can make you get saved, right? We go out, we know that we can't make people get saved. They have to desire to be made whole. All we can do is show up and bring them the water of life and say, wilt thou be made whole? You want to be healed? And you know what? If they want, it's like, hey, nothing's stopping you right now from being a Spirit-filled Christian. But you know what the kicker is? Your desire. Do you want it? Wilt thou be made whole? Nothing is stopping you from doing great works for God. Nothing is stopping you from reaching thousands, yea, millions of people for Christ in your life. Nothing is stopping Anchor Baptist Church from being a great church. The question is, wilt thou be made whole? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great question that you asked this man. I pray that we would just help these things to sink down deep into our hearts, that you would just help us all to find it within ourselves, to have a will, to serve you with our lives, to be filled with the Spirit, to do great things for your honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would, to 224, hymn number 224, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. Hymn number 224, 224. We'll sing there starting on the first.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing. Sent from the Savior above.